If you will turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, we're going to look at two passages, and we're going to look at chapter 2, and then we're going to also look at chapter 3. So, over the last few months, even going into about a year or so ago, I kept getting asked to go over what is referred to as dispensational truth, and we'll explain what that means in just a moment. There was some questions that wound up in the box about some things regarding dispensations. There's other elements that people have asked about regarding the subject matter in not in its great detail, but in just a small snippets here and there. And in order to kind of give some context and, I thought about it and prayed about it. And it was kind of clear that the Lord said, let's go back and revisit it. So for some of you, this may seem redundant. It may seem repetitive. But I will say this, the Lord is a God that repeats. He says things many times in Scripture. And then it goes back and says them again and again. And I just want us to look at this with kind of, again, some open eyes and understanding some things. I was having a discussion with my friend yesterday. We were at a wedding, and we were talking about some things, and he made mention. He said, the first time, he said, I went through dispensations and trying to understand it, he said, about the only thing that I ever got was there was a difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. He said, I couldn't tell you what the difference was. I couldn't tell you where to even find it in Scripture. He said, but I just knew that there was a difference. And I'm like, well, there's a small step. And he said it took him about three times to go through an exhaustive study for him to actually grasp the concept of what was there and what God was teaching us and why it is applicable to study. See, many times we get into this subject of doctrine and people kind of will want to shut down because they're like, well, I'm not going to need that. I'm not going to be a theologian. I'm not going to argue apologetics. I'm not going to do anything of that nature. But the fact is that in order for us to study and know what the Scriptures say and to know more about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you are going to have to know these principles. Because it is going to give you a better understanding of how God thinks. Now, good. Again, we're not going to be able to understand all of it, but we are going to get a point where we say, hey, God has a plan. And as I go through Scripture, the more I read, the more I study, the more it becomes more and more evident to me, God did not haphazardly just throw things in the Scriptures just because he thought it sounded good. You know, sometimes we read books and things of that nature where there are a collection of stories. Say what you will, when I was younger, I had this fascination with Edgar Allan Poe. Yes, I know. A little dark. A little dark. And just as an FYI, in case you ever wanted to know, everybody says he died from a cocaine overdose. That's not true. He actually died from rabies. But not that that matters. But anyways, and it just was like haphazardly put together. There was different stories, and you could read them different ways, and they were arranged different ways with his short stories or even with his novel and things like that. And it was just like, okay, they were all thrown in there. That's not the way the Lord put things together. This isn't a collection of short stories. This all intertwines with everything that is in Scripture. And Scripture upon Scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept, is what the Lord clearly shows us in His Word, that He has organized it a specific way. And there's a reason why He has put it together this way. And we're going to find out more about this as we kind of continue on. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and in verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. And I always want to reiterate this and make sure everyone understands. This isn't study to show that you're a theologian or a Bible student or you have some sort of intellectual assent or you're gaining this just for your own personal knowledge. No, you're studying to show yourself approved unto God. God says study. This is a command sentence structure. This is something that is given to everyone. And somebody's going to say, well, it's found in a pastoral epistle. Well, I'm great. I'm glad you said that. Let me get back to this here in just a second. I'll address that. But it says, studies show thyself proved unto God, a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly divided the word of truth. Now, again, one thing I want to focus on is while it talks about divisions there, it's not just divisions of dispensations that we're talking about. Because the word of God will rightly divide between soul and spirit. Notice that the Lord did not say in Hebrews 4:12 that it was flesh and soul or flesh and spirit, which is often what we think. Soul and spirit is different. I heard a great message talking about things that were soulish and how sometimes things that are soulish look like they could be spiritual, but they're really not, and they are of ourselves. They're not flesh, but they're definitely not spirit. And people sometimes have a hard time understanding that. And if I say things of that nature, you got to understand that's what we're talking about. But again, some of those older writings, even the Puritans, not necessarily they had their doctrine right, but some of those old Puritans understood the difference between soul and spirit. And I think somewhere along the lines, we lost that. And we got to get back to it. But it's dividing. There's things to divide between what is good and what is evil. Between what is good and what is bad, between what is righteous and unrighteous, what is holy and unholy. So there's a lot that can be divided in that, but also at the same time, division, understanding what God's plans are so that we can study in the Word of God the way He's designed it to. And again, to go back to the response of, well, do I really need to know these things? Well, if you turn to chapter 3 and in verse 16, it says, all Scripture. What's the definition of all, folks?
All.
Yeah. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it's not of man, okay? And we're going to focus on a little bit of that this morning as we talk about the preface of this. And it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. This is the truth that is going to impact your life. And doctrine is just not dispensations or Daniel or Revelation or prophecy or, you know, understanding how to do apologetics or come around and combat things of false doctrine or false religions. Or not. Doctrine is a very broad subject matter of anything that is taught as truth from the Word of God. And it all has application here. And this is what we're looking at. It all has application and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And we understand all of those things and we begin to realize that all of this is going to have an impact in our life to correct us and to show us some things that we need to know about ourselves and about who God is. And what's the purpose of it? Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And there's a whole concept behind that that we have to, you know, that we can talk about and we've talked about before, but there's a whole concept behind about why we need to make sure that what we have and what we're doing with what God has given us is furnishing us unto those good works which we are called to do. Now, again, somebody's going to get this mindset, you know, they can get into that Calvinistic mindset of, well, hey, I guess I don't have to do anything because God's going to do it through me anyways, and kind of, if you will, check out. But that's not the case. That's not what we believe. It means that this is a purpose thing that you're going to have to do to study all the Scripture, including things that may not make sense to you, so that you may be thoroughly furnished to do what God has asked you to do, which is the will of God. And we'll get to that a little bit later as we kind of go through this. But as we think about this whole subject matter, I want us to just approach this with, hey, I want to know more about our Lord. I want to know more about His Word and what He's teaching to us and why He's showing this to us. And we'll get to the whole reason why the Lord is doing this in just a little bit. But let's go ahead and pray. We'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the time. I thank you again so much, Lord, for the word you have given to us that teaches us and instructs us, guides us, corrects us, and gives us the wisdom that you want in our lives. And Lord, I just pray that as we study this subject through this series over the next few weeks, the Lord, you would just open our minds and hearts to you, that we would be humble, we would receive these things, and Lord, it would be evident what you are doing with mankind. I thank you again for how you teach us with your Holy Spirit. Thank you again for those that are here this morning. And I pray all of these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're going to take a look here in just a moment at kind of a table, which I printed on the back of the bulletin for you, because it's going to be really hard to see up here. The font is really small, and I know it's even small on the back of it as well. But what I want us to think about in regards to this is that when we start thinking of, is it not coming up? Oh, there it is. Okay, perfect. Say again? You need more bulletins? If you did not get a bulletin, hey, this is a time to put a plug in. Grab your bulletins. And I know there's nothing going on. Use that blank section for notes. I looked at that this morning, and I just had this, this sigh of like, okay, I get a breather, you know, I get a break, you know. It's going to get a little slow, and then we'll pick up again. But I was just like, praise the Lord, amen. But on the back of it, you're going to find there is, and if anyone needs one, this. And I know the font is small, and I can, you know, send you the document if you want, and you can kind of blow it up and see it a bit bigger. But the idea behind what we're looking at is kind of how God has put a plan together through the ages. And let's talk about exactly what this is, and what is dispensational truth. Well, when we look at the Bible, and when you read the Bible, and you study the Bible, we see that the Lord reveals that he is dealing with mankind in distinct periods of time, and what we're going to commonly call them are dispensations. Now, some people call them ages, and I'm not going to get so hung up on the word, you know, what words we use, but dispensation and that word is a biblical term. Somebody's going to say, well, that word isn't found in the Bible. Well, read your Bible. Because it is. It's actually found four times in Scripture. And he uses it, and we'll look at those in just a moment. But a dispensation is a period of time in which God gives man a particular revelation of his will and places man under a very particular responsibility. And we'll get to kind of more of that examples here in a moment. But what God does is he tests man's obedience through in relation to the revelation he has given to us. What he shows us, are we willing to obey it? Now, we know we have the complete written word of God right here, perfect and preserved for us. And our lives would be far better if we just obeyed it, amen? Yeah. I mean, we understand that concept. And when we look at it, we can see the evidence of what happens when people don't obey. So we do understand there's ensamples and examples in Scripture that the Lord gives to us that we are to look at. But there's also stuff that is applicable to us right now. And this dispensational truth is something that is this, I guess we could put it this way, as God's program in time. How he is going to put his plan together, how he's going to do it. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that there's some different, you know, how can I phrase this? It means that we're going to have to take a look at how the Lord uses that word that he has given to show mankind what it is they need to do. So I'll give you an example. You go back over there, and in the fall, in Genesis chapter 3, the Lord did not immediately preach Jesus Christ to them. That wasn't preached at all. As a matter of fact, it was considered a mystery. And it was a mystery until it was revealed, and we'll talk about that in Ephesians chapter 3 in just a moment. That's why the book of Ephesians is one of the most critical books that any believer can get a hold of. And I want to say while Romans is important, Ephesians is a good kind of, if you will, Reader's Digest version of it. but it really covers a lot of what we need to understand for what we were to do right now. But when we think about this, what it's showing us is it's giving, you know, we're recognizing in Scripture that God has certain dealings, commands, responsibilities, and revealed purposes that have changed throughout the ages. There's a difference. There's an overarching understanding of what mankind is to do. And we find that in Revelation chapter 4, where we are to please Him. As a believer, we understand our overarching is to bring Him praise, honor, and glory. We understand that there's an overarching of mankind to do His will. But within that overarching umbrella, there are certain things that He wants us to do and certain things that He's asked other people to do that He has not asked us. He hasn't given us be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That was given to Adam and that was given to Noah. But wasn't given to us. That's not something that we have. Now, when we go and we say, hey, you know, I'm going to have kids and things of that nature, feel free. But we can't take that because it was given to somebody specific. Another example, Mark chapter 16, the Great Commission. Who was that given to? It was given to the 11. Specifically given to the 11. Now, we can take application. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. And everybody should do that. But we're not going to have those signs following us in the next verse. We're not going to go out there and handle snakes and raise people from the dead and start healing people and drink deadly poisons and speak in tongues that way. Because again, that was for specific people for a specific purpose. And that's where we start realizing there are some dispensational things in Scripture that He shows us. So we're going to look at that. And what dispensations shows and emphasizes are three important things. Number one, throughout all of dispensations, it will constantly show God's grace. Now, some people are going to call like this dispensation six, they call it the age of grace or something of that nature, and we'll explain that. But I will tell you this, grace just didn't show up in this period of time. If you read your Bible, you find that Noah found what in the eyes of the Lord? Grace. So we realize that there's grace that was before what we say grace is. So God's grace has been from the very beginning of time and will through all the end of time, amen? Even into eternity, because it is who He is. Grace existed before creation. Because of who it is. So when we start thinking about it, these are important things that we need to remember. God's mercy, God's grace, God's redemptive plan, all of those things have been in every age. They've been in every dispensation. At the same time, in every dispensation, we find that there is man's specific responsibilities. Is it our responsibility to go build a tabernacle or a temple right now? Not physically. But we find things that parallel us in the spiritual world that Paul talks about. Amen? But we're not to go out and do that. Do we do those physical sacrifices? No. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ did it all on the cross. So we realize that's not our responsibility. But it is our responsibility to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ, to preach the ministry of reconciliation, to do the things that He's told us to do as the body of Christ. So we find those, that man's responsibility is the second one. And also the third one is that we find that the Lord has a prophetic purpose throughout the times. There's a lot of things in here that are prophetic in nature. The Jews did not understand the prophecies of Jesus Christ that are in the Old Testament. We get to look back and see those things. We've all heard the little adage, hindsight is 20/20, right? I mean, how many of us can look back and go, well, I'm never doing that again? That was a dumb idea. So, you know, I wish I had known this, and then I would have like never done that. Well, there are things that we can't see into the future. So when we start approaching things of prophecy, you get some people that sit there and say that they can analyze everything of Daniel and Ezekiel and all of the minor and major prophets and all the things in the book of Revelation, and they can clearly see all of it. I can't clearly see all of it. Why? Because I'm not going to be able to live that. The things that are described, I can know. I can have an understanding of them. I can have a wisdom about them. But I'm not going to experience them. That is part of God's prophetic purpose for His people, the nation of Israel, in the tribulation period and in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Now, we will have a part of that, but we're not going to know anything of that nature till that happens. Just like they didn't know anything about Jesus Christ till He came. And then they didn't realize who it was until He told them, go search the Scriptures and it will testify of Me, is what He said. They still don't get that part. We get to see it. But there's a blindness that's come to them because of their rebellion and, if you will, their love of idolatry that they're still dealing with, that the Lord's going to deal with. But as we look at these things, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 3, reference a little bit of that, and we'll take a look more throughout this study in Ephesians chapter 3. We find that Paul mentions in verse 8, says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. I like that. Paul says there's top saints, there's middle saints, there's lower saints, there's the bottom of the barrel, and then he says, I'm there. I'm the scum that's under the scum. He has a way of putting it down to where he realizes he's not trying to lift himself up. He's been given something, and he very clearly talks about that in 2 Corinthians 12, where he does not want to get lifted up, and there's a reason something was there that was keeping him humble. So people ask, well, why am I going through this? It might be to keep you humble. I don't like that. No, you probably won't. But it's there nonetheless. And that's when we go back to, my grace is sufficient for thee. But we see here, he says, and this, it says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, in this grace given, that I should preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, why is that important? Because there's certain passages we'll look at where the Lord said to the 12, don't go to the Gentiles. That's in the Gospels. And when somebody says, wait a second, he said don't go to the Gentiles? Yes. And there's, again, a reason why. But we find that here he's saying that this is something that has been given to him, and this is how he is going to do this for the purpose of the Gentiles. To show them the gospel, to show them Jesus Christ, to show them God. And the dispensational approach that we're looking at here is that we're going to try to understand what God has said, to whom He said it, when He said it, and how it applies with His overall program. How does it apply to this whole thing? Now again, this is where we're going to run into a little bit of a snag. And I'm going to mention this because sometimes when this is brought up, somebody's going to start the argument. And why they start the argument, I clearly don't understand, because I can't read their hearts. I'm not God. I am not Jesus Christ. I am not the Holy Spirit. So I don't know why they say these things. But if you start talking about this with anyone, And sometimes if you start looking at things on the internet, and God forbid you go onto some of those horrible forums or Facebook pages, you'll find people just bringing up very, very weird, kind of obtuse, in my opinion, arguments. And it's the deflection thing. It's part of a debate subject, you know, a tactic, if you will. But there are the individuals out there that will talk about and say, well, dispensations are not biblical. And some theologian by the name of John Nelson Darby invented it in the 1800s. And then an American Bible student by the name of C.I. Schofield or Cyrus Schofield popularized that dispensations that he had learned from Darby in the beginning of the 1900s when he produced what was referred to as the Schofield Reference Bible. Now, again, there's two different Schofield Reference Bibles. You want the one with the old Schofield Reference. The new one changes a bunch of things and actually tries to correct the Bible itself and correct the Word of God. And says, well, this is not really what God meant, and this is what he meant. And I'm like, no. So there's two different ones of those. But again, Schofield and Darby, still, they're men, all right? They have errors. And look, I don't care which commentator you look at or which one you prefer or who it is, whether you're talking about Matthew Henry, or you're talking about Charles Spurgeon, whether you're talking about Peter Ruckman, whether you're talking about any of those guys, okay? Any of them. They're all men, and they all are going to have some flaws with them, and sometimes they're not going to get it right. So what does that mean? Know your Bible. Do not rely on them for these things. Know what the Scripture says. You are responsible for your knowledge of the Bible. Not what some pastor says, not even what I say, or some commentator, or definitely don't go off the internet. But you see what I'm saying is you are responsible for studying this. And somebody's going to say, well, I need somebody to help me and guide me. There are some people that can do that and help you. But again, at the same time, the Holy Spirit will also lead you and guide you in this. So these are all important things. And there's been big debates. When Tim Shanks said that from the pulpit one time, somebody got into his face later on and said, you need to run all your doctrine through me or through someone else. And I'm like, oh, wow. That was interesting. As if they are the oracles of God. But again, what we have to take a look at is what the Bible says and line it up with what Scripture says. And somebody can come along and correct, and that's where we're supposed to be humble and receive the correction. If it's true. But if it's not true, that's why we have to be like the Bereans. We've got to search the Scriptures. Daily. Don't start studying when somebody starts arguing about something. You're already behind the eight ball. Know it beforehand. That was free. But when we start addressing that and to kind of look at this, is we have to kind of look at this horse historical argument carefully. All right. Now look. This statement that was made about Darby and Schofield inventing this is simply not true. And they will say, well, it didn't show up until then. Well, that's not true either. That's not true either. There was an individual by the name of Irenaeus, Justin Martyr, and I hate to say it, Augustine. His doctrine is really weird, but he still saw some divisions that we'll talk about. And others that are there, and they see this, that do align with what these two guys, Darby Schofield, were talking about. Now look, we don't need to claim that they believed the exact same thing that Darby Schofield believed, or what Scripture says, because they didn't, all right? But what we're looking at is a stronger and, if you will, more defensible argument from that is that the biblical concept of these distinct administrations, distinct dispensations and ages has been present in Scripture and was recognized by Christians centuries before Darby or Schofield. Centuries before. You know, Darby can be credited with kind of putting some things together, you know, putting it into an easy format. There's another guy by the name of Clarence Larkin that put some charts together that, you know, he has. But again, Clarence Larkin doesn't always get it right either. Okay. So we've got to understand those things. He didn't invent this underlying concept. And the reason why I'm saying this is that when somebody starts looking and studying these are things that are often going to be said to kind of discount this. And there's a reason why the devil would want to discount this. This right here, and I'll just kind of give you a little bit of a preview, this right here proves man is without excuse. If you've ever been witnessing with somebody, they will come up with all sorts of things. Well, if God would have just, given us one commandment, we would have been fine. Really? Well, if God just let us lead ourselves in our own hearts and we do something of that nature, we'll be fine. We would have been fine. That ended in disaster. Well, if God just gave us some form of something to kind of rule over each other, like a form of government. Yeah, we're still dealing with that. Well, if God just wrote down everything that we were supposed to do. Well, if God just made salvation simple. If God just showed himself, if God was here on earth right now, that's all this is. It shows man is without excuse, as he says in Romans, which is what we're going to look at in a bit as we go through this study. But again, I just want to emphasize this, that Darby did not invent this, or Schofield did not invent this. And turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's take a look here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll explain what dispensation in that word means here. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and in verse 17, it says here, "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." And he talks about a dispensation of the gospel. Now, somebody is going to say, well, dispensation of the gospel is the dispensing of the gospel. Which gospel? There's a gospel of the kingdom of heaven that is not for us. But there's the gospel of Jesus Christ, which was to be shown to the Gentiles in a specific sense, in a particular way, by a particular person, for a specific purpose. So this is what he's talking about. Look, I mean, we can see right there the Lord is already talking about there is a dispensation of something. Let's take a look at another passage. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 3. We were just over there. But I want you to just look a little bit further up in that chapter, and I want you to take a look specifically at verse, better get in Ephesians and not Philippians, but I want you to take a look specifically at verse 2. He says, "If I have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word." Now, who is he talking about? Well, let's back up for the context. "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you," who? Not Jews. Now, does that mean they're cut off? No. Paul addresses that clearly. Somebody that is Jewish, if they want to trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior right now, they can. It's hard for them to see it, though, because of their blindness that they have. But it does not mean it is impossible. And there are many Jews, and to hear their testimonies of when they read through the Bible, and there was one rabbi that he's like, what? I'm just so sick and tired of all these, you know, other people talking about who Jesus is. I'm going to finally read the New Testament. I'm going to just show how this is just, you know, this does not align with anything that is in the Torah or anything. He reads the New Testament and he drops on his knees and says, "What have I done?" That was a rabbi. When he saw Jesus Christ in the Old Testament and everything that he had learned about the Old Testament. And when God showed it and revealed it to him, he was like, "Oh no." But he says, that for you Gentiles. And what is he talking about? A dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. He's saying, I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. I'm given a special dispensation that is not for the things that we've seen in the past, specifically to you, Gentiles. Because the church at Ephesus was Gentile. It was Gentile. Take a look at, you know, and again, just to kind of understand some of the context of what we're looking at here, verse 3 says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote in a few words, whereby when ye read that you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Christ was a mystery to the Jews. Well, how do we know that? Because he's standing right in front of them and they still didn't get it. Even after the resurrection, many of them didn't get it. So as we kind of think about it, and now, and keep in mind, they had a vast knowledge of the Old Testament. Far more than you or I ever probably will. Because they wrote it and they studied it every single day. But we find here in verse 4, he says, whereby when ye read, or excuse me, in verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. Now he's talking about something dispensationally. It was not made known. So when you start looking at this, the things in number 5, number 4, they did not get that. Abraham did not understand it, but he still believed in faith what God had said, and he was still obedient, even though he didn't get it until later. Now, certain things were revealed to him, certain things were revealed to certain people, but overall, it was a mystery to them. It was a mystery. And he says, which was made known, which in other ages was not... was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And he's saying that was the intent. That was the plan. This was not revealed to them in the law. They didn't get it. It was there, but they didn't get it. And then as we go on a little bit further, in verse 7, he says, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than least of all saints, in this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. I like that. The fellowship of the mystery. You want to, if you want to go start a church, just start, you know, you'll get a lot of people if you just name it Fellowship of the Mystery. People will come, they'll be like, "What is this?" It's, yeah, don't do that. You'll get some weird folks, I'm just going to say. Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, again, he's doing this for a reason. And he's showing these things to us for a reason. He showed these things to Paul for a reason. But again, we find that word in verse 2, dispensation. Now again, go over to the book of Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1. And he makes mention of this to these Gentiles. And he says specifically to them in verse 25... whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, talking to Gentiles here, to fulfill the word of God. This is God's plan. This is something he has been planning for a very long time. And yes, when you go through and you realize and start counting years from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 all the way to 6, you go, that's quite a few years. And we'll look at that when we start realizing that he has shown these things throughout Scripture, but also has referenced them. And we're going to take a look at more passages, but he had a certain time that he was going to do this. And when the fullness of that time was come, then Jesus Christ appeared. But not until he had done what he needed to do in this plan. So as we start looking at this and we begin to understand that this dispensational language is in the Bible itself. It's not something that Darby or Schofield created and inserted into the Word of God. That's not something that he did. And what the Bible plainly records is that there's different administrations of God's dealing with mankind. Adam was given a command that Noah did not receive. Don't eat that tree. Noah didn't get that one. Now, both of them got to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. But Abraham didn't get that one. So Noah was given responsibilities that Adam did not receive. Did he tell Adam to build an ark? Right after that, did he say, go build an ark? When sin began to propagate throughout the world with their children, did he say, go build an ark? No, it wasn't until the age of conscience, and when you start moving to where after the flood there was government that was instituted, you realize man cannot be led by their conscience. What happened in Genesis chapter 6? That was really, really bad. And we have not gotten to that fullness of iniquity yet. But one day we will. You're like, well, how much worse can it get than today? Oh, brother and sister, it can get a lot worse. It can get a lot worse. And if you pay attention to stuff that's even going on here in the state of Washington, it'll make you sick. It'll make you sick. But Noah was given responsibilities that Adam didn't receive. Abraham had received promises that Noah didn't receive. Still, he wasn't told to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. He was just told, you're going to get a son. Yes, he had more later, but they weren't part of that promise. Israel was placed under the Mosaic law. The law... Well, the church is not specifically said to be under the law. We use it as a schoolmaster to teach us, but we're not under the law as Israel was. But we find that there's certain elements that are there that are important. So what do we begin to find? We begin to find that the Bible itself begins to mark all of these major differences and changes in God's program. You go from Eden to the fall, fall to the flood, flood to Babel, Abraham to Israel, law to Christ, Christ to the church, church talking in insert tribulation in there to second coming, and then you've got the second coming to the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, the kingdom to eternal state. We start seeing there's differences. And somebody that argues and says, well, I'm not a dispensationalist. Yeah, you are. Do you believe there's an Old Testament and a New Testament? Well, yeah. Do you follow the law now? Well, no. Okay, you're a dispensationalist. Congratulations. We got two. And we can prove then, you know, another three very quickly. And pretty soon, you've got five. We'll just add the next two. And, you know, logically, from Scripture, by the way. There's a reason why I'm showing this from the things from Scripture. And those are divisions that were not invented by Darby. They're divisions that are plainly visible in Scripture itself. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. God even says that these divisions exist. God says that he does do this. And somebody's going to say, well, God never changes. No, God never changes, but how he deals with man might. And does. Why? Because we mess things up. And again, it's for a purpose. It's part of the plan. But look at what he says in Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry times, what's the word sundry? Mixed. How many of you remember you used to go to a place that would be called sundries? We're not that old. Back in the day, they would have things that they would say, well, hey, you know, mom's going to go to the store and get some sundries. We call them groceries today. Sundries would be the equivalent of Walmart, where not only can you buy your underwear, but you can buy, your Mountain Dew and a gun and your lawnmower. That's sundry. You got different departments within that supermarket, right? That super center, as they call it. So you can get all those things. But he says, God at sundry times and in diverse manners. Diverse manners. Not the same manner, but diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. He's saying, and again, this is written in the New Testament. This is something, and I know some people say Paul wrote it. It doesn't say who wrote it, so just throw out whoever says said what, okay? It's, again, it has a specific purpose of being written to Hebrews for a reason, okay? And it shows us some things that we can really grasp a hold of until you learn about what's in the Old Testament. But I will say this, it's specifically telling these Hebrews, by the way, the Lord has done this way back then. Way back then. For a reason. So he shows very clearly that this is something that he is doing through the course of time. He's showing there's kind of this progressive revelation, if you want to use that term, through Scripture. Adam didn't have clear understanding of this. Abraham didn't see all of it, as it says in the book of Hebrews. He didn't see it. But he hoped for it. Paul didn't see all of it. I'm sure when John saw all the stuff that was going on, he was like, what did I just see? Same with Ezekiel and Daniel. Like, whoa, okay. They got a little bit of that plan that God is revealing to them. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 is kind of showing that there is a specific change in how the Lord does something. And what does he say here in Galatians 4, 4? He says, but when the fullness of the time was come, meaning that there was a period of time where he said, oh, when it's full, then something's going to happen. And what winds up happening? God sent forth his son, Jesus Christ, which we see there at the cross, made of a woman, made under the law. And for a reason, to redeem. So we begin to see that the Lord is showing in Scripture that this is something that is not created by man. It was not created by Darby. It wasn't created by any of those guys. But it was specifically put there by the Lord for a purpose. For a purpose. And it begins to show that there's this chronological structure in Scripture that shows that was prophetic in nature, that was very much showing the things of what God was going to do and how he was going to do it. And even Jesus Christ recognizes this. And next week we're going to take a look at some of these differences as we talk about this, because we really do need to address this argument about, well, why study dispensations? That's something that's just made up by man and isn't in the Bible. No, it's very much in the Bible. And again, to kind of summarize, which we'll look at next week, this is not a man-made doctrine or a man-made tradition. By the time we look at everything, we will see that the Lord has done this in his word, and it is done outside of man, but God revealing his plan and purpose for us. And hopefully at the end of this series, we'll look back and we'll be able to say, okay, I know a little bit more about God now. I know a little bit more about why he's done what he's done. I know a little bit more about why he put that verse in there, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that all that come to repentance goes back all the way to Adam, all the way to the end of the world. And Peter saw a bit of that, which we'll get to shortly. Well, let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer, and we'll get into more of this, Lord willing, next week. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for the time. I thank you again, Lord, for all that you continue to teach us. And Lord, as we endeavor to look at these things, and as we kind of look at it with a fresh set of eyes, Lord, our hearts would be ready to receive the instruction, the wisdom that we find in your word, not through man, not through the teaching of a commentator, but by what you say from your holy book. And I pray, Lord, that we would just consider and think on these things. And Lord, again, you would just show them, reveal them to us in your wisdom through your Spirit. I pray, Lord, you continue to meet with us for this 11 o'clock hour. All of this I do ask and pray in your Son's precious and most holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.